Ephesians chapter 6:18, it says, pray all the times, on every occasion, in every season, especially in the spirit. Now, your English version says in spirit, but when you studied that verse deep, when you studied the Latin and the Greek, it says pray all the time, but especially in spirit. Because sometimes we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to intercede, but the Holy Spirit, He intercedes through us. You know, listen, we live in the time right now. If some of you, I hope anybody, nobody here is sophisticated enough. I mean, not enough. How could I say that? Oh, Lord, Holy Spirit. I hope nobody feel so sophisticated that they want to be fancy with the Holy Ghost. Let me explain what I'm trying to look for words to explain what's in my heart. You know, sometimes we get, we don't want the Holy Spirit to come and rearrange the stage, the house. But my prayer is that we would be soul out, totally after God. Oh, Lord, help me. Yeah, it's like I know what I want to say, but anyway. But it says pray all the times. Pray all the times in every occasion, especially in the spirit. If you haven't received your prayer language, receive it. It's for everybody. Don't believe the lie that says, oh, it's not for every believer. It is for every believer. The Holy Spirit is for each believer, every believer. This morning my heart is full, but I want to go back to living a life of worship. Living a life of worship, what does it mean to live a life of worship? Last week I talked about the five step according to the tabernacle. There is a pathway to the presence of God. There is a pathway to the presence of God. And you must reach the Holy of Holies. I believe as New Covenant Christians, when we understand how worship was in the Old Testament, you have a whole new mindset. When Jesus said, the time has come. True worshipers will worship Father in spirit and in truth. Actually, the women had it all confused. She says, why? I'm shocked you're talking to me. How come you, a Jew, talking to me? Because at that time, there was no relationship between the Jews and there was a racist mindset. You know, the Jews thought they were higher than the Samaritans. But Jesus broke that barrier, spoke to a woman and told her, he says, this old covenant, I come to do away with it. So therefore, I talked about last week, when we worship, we come in the Old Testament. This was God's pattern. People would enter. Number one, they enter worship. Worship is a place you enter. That's why living a life of worship has more to do than singing. Living a life of worship has more to do than goosebumps. Shell de poule. You figure that out. I'm not going to try to say it again. But you know what I mean. Some English words still kick my butt, all right? I still struggle with them, you know. Sometimes I get it, other times I don't. But good sport. Jesus said in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the light. So under the new covenant, Jesus is our way. We cannot come to the holy. Listen, I'm telling you. This morning my brain doesn't want to speak English. Let me tell you this. God's plan is that we get to the ark in front of his face where the Shekinah glory is. You know, the Shekinah glory means the manifest presence of God. And more than ever, you won't make it unless you are experiencing the manifest glory of God. You, anxiety will kill you. The worries of life will destroy you. Other people's ideas will destroy you. Worries, I'd say worry right now is at the top of the line. Fear will destroy you. And if you're not careful, even your own self will destroy you. You know, sometimes our worst enemy is us. You know, it's like sometimes I look around when I study the word, I'm like, man, poor devil. They blame everything on the devil. Sometimes it's not the devil, it's me. Sometimes it's my choice. Of course, the devil wants you to fail. He wants you to be in misery. He doesn't want you to encounter the glory of God. He doesn't want you to live a life that's going from glory to glory. He doesn't want that. The devil wants you to always be shrinking back. But God wants you to move forward. So look at this. The number one is enter. Jesus said, I'm the gate, according to John chapter 10. And then also I talk about number two, what we call the sacrifice, and the outer court, where the altar of burnt offering. You know, people would come and burn their offerings there. And then we've got the lava. People which is symbolized the cleansing of sin. That's why it says in Hebrews, I want everybody to come before me, men or women, and lifting up holy hands. Lifting up holy hands. You see, when we live a life of sin, or if we have sin, I really love that word in French. It says empêchement. Empêchement. It's like something that blocks you. Sin. In the word empêchement in French, you find the word péché, which means sin. Anything that blocks you to experience the glory of God is sin. Anything that's trying to take the place of God in your life will take you to hell. Let me tell you this again. Anyone who is trying to take God out of you out of God, that thing, that person will lead you to hell. And then today I want to talk living a life of worship and being set apart. So of course now we see number three, number four, and number five, the holy place. In the holy place we find the table of shewbread and the menorah, and also you have the altar of incense. What does it mean to be set apart? The Israelites, when you study the Old Testament, God was clear with them. He said, I choose you to be a holy people. I set you apart. As a matter of fact, he told them, you don't have to worry about God. You don't have to worry about a king, because I am your king. You guys remember what they did? The Israelites, they look at all the nations around them. They said, well, how come every nation has a king? We don't, a physical king. Remember I told you God created us for worship. He created you. I mean, you people will worship something. But you will experience life when you place your priorities straight. You start worshiping God. Put God first in your life. The word set apart, when you study in the Greek, it means holy. Simple. It means holy. God is holy. So because God is holy, he created you and I. He's like, all right, I'm going to set you apart. How special is that? For you to live your life thinking, man, I'm set apart. Some people see that as a burden. No, it's not. You've been chosen, handpicked. It's like, I choose you. I set you apart. Listen to what it says in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. It says, you are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy. You are to be holy to me. Why? Because I am the Lord, I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be what? My own. Would you repeat over yourself, I belong to Jesus? You know, so therefore, everything you do is just like, you know, in the context of marriage. People with a clear understanding of marriage, you understand when you married, two selfish people or two ticks in a marriage, it won't survive. Because, you know, they say ticks sucks blood. Anyone selfish in a marriage will kill it. Anyone giving 50% in a marriage will destroy it. Marriage 100-100. You got to give 100-100. Sometimes you have one person giving 100-100. The other person is giving 20, 30, 40, 50, 70, whatever. And then the person giving 100, after years, give up. But the idea is when you married, when I married, I don't marry for me. I marry for her to make her happy. What a mindset. People who get married to find fulfillment will never be fulfilled. Oh, yeah. But if you marry with the mindset, I'm going to fulfill this person. I'm going to complete that person. I vow to cherish all married people here. Remember that day. You made the vow to cherish in good and bad time, in sickness and health, richer and poor. I personally believe unless someone is in an abusive relationship, physical, emotional relationship, there's no problem the gospel cannot resolve in a marriage. Mm-hmm. Now, if the other mate is abusing you, yeah, you know, this is not, God hates divorce, but God hates abuse as much as he hates divorce. You've been set apart. So when you married, you don't marry for yourself. When you choose to follow Jesus, you know, sometimes people come to Jesus with the mindset, oh, I'm going to come to Jesus. Jesus is going to make me happy. You know, they want to serve Jesus because Jesus is going to give them free stuff. Jesus is going to make my life better. Let me break it to you or remind you again. Jesus said, are you sure you want to follow me? As a matter of fact, he said, if you want to follow me, you know what to do? Pick up your cross. At that time, people at that time, they understood what Jesus meant. Because to picking up your cross, that means you were on your way to die. You were on your way to Golgotha. You were on your way to be what? I mean, who would want to do that? Not, he didn't stop there. He said, if you want to follow me, identify with me, you must forget, deny. And I know, as a matter of fact, one of the problems we have in the church, people in the church, they struggle to deny themselves. They can't die to themselves. Die to your own plan. God calls you, right? God says, I want you to do this. In my own life. God called me. He's like, this is what I want to do. And I was like, what? No, Lord. No, Lord. That's not what I want. We all have our own plan. But remember, this morning, God sets you apart. To live a life of worship, to experience the presence of God, you must be reminded that you've been set apart. The day you receive Jesus as your Lord, you choose to marry him. And he's a good man. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's a good father. You know, we there's this prophet. Man, when I read this story, I don't remember his name, but there's this story. I didn't have that in my notes, just came in my mind. There's this prophet. God says, I want you to marry a prostitute. Hosea. Man, every time I read this in the Bible, I'm like, Lord, man, you really love us. You guys should read this. I suggest you read that verse, that chapter. It's not much. That book, it's not much. God told the guy to go and marry an unfaithful woman, knowing that she will be unfaithful to him. And every time, I mean, you guys go read it. And he says, this is how I love you. This is how I care for you. This is how I want you to experience complete rest. I mean, the guy would go and pick the girl at other guy's house. God is still coming after you. Because he sets you apart. You see, that's the good news. This is news that should give you hope. Satan, you know what he does? He come and he suck life. That's what he does. He comes and, you know, get a young kid, get them to start smoking, drinking, partying, and then they look like they're done. But sometimes you see someone who's like 80 years old, 90, 85 years old. They're serving the Lord. They've got the joy of the Lord. They look like 15 years younger. Like what? What's happening? It's the presence of God. And you see young people, you know, thinking they're enjoying life. Yeah. There's no enjoyment of life outside living a life of fear of the Lord. Jesus set us apart so we could enter into the Holy of Holies to experience his presence. When we experience the presence of God, we change. Listen to what the Bible says in some verses. Living a consecrated life requires aligning our actions and thoughts. So this word align, Psalm 3 says, know that the Lord has set apart his faithful servant for himself. The Lord hears when I call him. So when you live this life, your life, knowing that I've been set apart, when you talk to God, he answers. We were thinking maybe my next sermons would be about hearing the voice of God. You don't have to answer. But do you hear God's voice? You don't have to answer. It's a question. Write it down if you're taking notes. Do I hear God's voice? Can I make the difference when God's speaking? When Mice Ricardo's speaking? When Kendra's speaking? When the world is speaking? When the media is speaking? When my friend's speaking? Can I make the difference? Do I know when God speaks? And more than ever, we need to be able to know when he speaks. Living a consecrated life, meaning consecrated, in the word consecrated, meaning living a life set apart. Living a life set apart requires alignment. So I have this bogi. Bogi means Bogota. Bogota. Is that Spanish? Bogota? No, that's not Spanish. Bogota. I had this Bogota. Bogota means like the clunker. I had this clunker car I was working on. I love the car. But I couldn't get the tires to align. Alignment, right? You know alignment? Have you ever seen a car where the tires are like this? Don't try to put new tires. Ever seen, not here, I've seen it in other countries. Here, I don't think the DMV or the state inspection would allow that to happen. You see the car driving, the head is this way, the back is that way. I don't know if you've seen it here, but I've seen it in other places. It's like the car is driving, it's like the head's like this. And I want you to remember this, that car driving like that, the head's here, the butt's over there. God doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to live a life set apart, meaning he wants you to be aligned. God wants you to be aligned. So, but just to be, get on my nerve. So God wants me to be in that situation, be aligned. He doesn't want me to be like that. No. He doesn't want me to be like that. Whatever situation life throws at you, unforeseen tragedies, God still wants you to be alive. When the wind of the storm's blowing you from left to right, he wants you to hold on to the cross and still be what? Alive. Because you won't make it if you're not alive. They'll send you to the clunker's shop. The clunker's junkyard. First Peter chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a person, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Man, I tell you, Lord, just let's read this again. But you are a chosen. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to each one of you here. You are a chosen people, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And I want you to picture that image we put on the screen earlier. When you look at the temple in the Old Testament, the tabernacle, only the priest. There it is. Thank you. Only the priest. You see that Holy of Holies, number 4 and 5? Only the chosen priest had the right to go in there. But now, through the blood of Jesus, under the new covenant, what do I have? I am a priest. I can go. I can go. Can I have a witness? I can go and I can preach. God, I can, listen, I can just offer my sacrifice. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. When the enemy comes to you and tell you, you're nothing, you're worthless, you won't make it, and brings your past against you, you bring to him. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You say, Satan, you don't know. Yeah, I know my past. Yeah, that past have been laid on the cross. But let me remind you who I am now. I am a chosen people. I am a royal priesthood, a holy person by the blood of Jesus. God's precious, special possession. Man, we all, for those of you who are parents, whether physically or you've got niece or people, children that you value in your life. We love those kids. They become our possession, right? And there's no way us earthly parents can love our children the way God loves us. No way. No way. No, absolutely no way. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? Didn't you know that? Yeah, you know that. That's a question. I love this verse. It's like Paul's like, don't you know? Don't you know that you're... So now God doesn't live in the old tabernacle anymore. Jesus says time has come where you don't have to go there to worship God. I live here. See, now you'll understand because you set apart. Because I am set apart. I don't watch... There's certain things I can't watch. I seriously... There are certain things I can't find entertainment in them. It's like I've got my radar on. As the moment, sometimes, you know, you find yourself watching something and they throw something in there. It's like, oh, no. It's like, oh, man, no. It's just like a splinter. You know, when you get a splinter, you're like, oh, a splinter, splinter. No, the moment you get a splinter, it's like, ouch, oh. And then you're like, come on, Kendra, come help me. Splinter, splinter, right? It's a foreign object. It's a foreign object in the body, so therefore, the whole body is screaming, splinter. You got a splinter in your little toe here. And everybody stopped. Everything stopped on the body. Splinter, oh, splinter, right? The attention's right here. You've been set apart, and I believe more than ever, we believers, citizens of the kingdom, we need to stop entertaining ourselves with garbage. And because our radar is not, and it's not religion. I'm not talking about being religious, you know, following a bunch of rules. Don't watch this. Don't do that. No, no, no. The Holy Spirit, you live by the Spirit. You know, you set apart there. I hope everybody here has been delivered under whatever addiction, like smoking addiction. So you're saying you're following Jesus. You love Jesus and you know him for 15 years. You're still smoking. And you know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your lungs is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you keep doing it. You should question your love. And that goes with disrespecting your parents, pornography, backstabbing, people who likes to talk fouiller their bush. My Creole is just wants to overthrow today. You know, people who just want to put their mouth in other people's business. Hypocrite. You know, hypocrisy is a big sin. People who smile at you, but in their heart, they harbor bitterness. I pray that for us here at Restoration Church, we can live a life set apart so we can experience the blessings of God. Don't be hypocrites. Show up a face, and that face you're showing up is not who you are. Oh, man, let's go to Romans chapter 12. I'm talking about living a life of worship, what it means compared to the Old Testament, the tabernacle. And number 4 and 5, we're talking about set apart, living a life set apart. Do not be conformed. That word conformed, I loved it. It says it's comply with rules or law. Do not comply with rules of laws of this world. Do not be conformed, or do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Then what? So here, let's go slow. How do I discern? You'll be able to test and approve. How do I discern? That test and approve mean discern. How will I be able to discern God's will? It starts like this. For me to not be conformed, meaning to not comply with the rules of the world. We all want to love people. Listen, God calls us to love people. And with this old mindset, we have a bunch of wishy-washy Christians, no conviction. Let me tell you, when you show up without conviction, the world will shape your conviction. If you're living life with no conviction, you don't know what you believe when it comes to marriage. You don't know what you believe when it comes to sex. God created them male and female. You don't know what you believe when it comes to sin. I'm talking about sin. The world will tell you, because you have no conviction. If I don't shape my conviction to what a church would look like, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to go on social media, online, I'm going to read Google, and I'm going to see a bunch of things, and I'm going to come here trying to repeat. That's why a lot of preachers, and I pray for them, they live in the fear of the congregation instead of the fear of the Lord, because they want to please the church. They want to please people, you know? People, this person get hurt and they leave. That's why here we teach on covenant. The church is not a place you go to. It's a place you belong to. It's a family. So of course we're going to hurt each other. When you do life with people, you hurt each other. But then we talk about it. Right? We talk about it. We press the reset button, which is forgiveness. I'm sorry. You know, have you ever talked to somebody, they hurt you, and you find the courage to go to them saying, you know what, so-and-so, what you said was very hurtful, and I'm hurt. And the person says, well, I wasn't trying to hurt you. I wasn't trying to hurt you. I mean, it's like you just walking around taking offense. That's not the way you solve the problem. A mature Christian would be like, oh, man, I am so sorry you took offense. That was not my intention. Would you please forgive me? And what I'm telling you here, the Holy Spirit taught me this. Because what I said earlier, that's how I used to treat people. When they would come and say, Ricardo, you hurt me, you do this. I'm like, come on, I wasn't trying to hurt you. And I had an attitude. It's like, what's your problem? It's like, you're always taking offense? I mean, what's the deal? I was not trying in my marriage. That's one thing that almost killed our marriage. She would come to me telling me this. I'm like, what's wrong with you? I thank God for giving me a new heart. So sorry, baby. I hurt my wife. I used to. Because I was selfish. You know? instead of listen and understand. That takes maturity. Listen, God wants us to be mature people, mature Christians. A baby thinks a lot about themselves, how they feel, right? Baby don't care what time it is. He wants food. He's going to start crying. A toddler, a teenager, it's all about me. God wants you to be mature. Mature Christians. Because life is not getting any easier. Jesus is coming back and life is not getting any easier. So you must be getting stronger in the Lord. Get stronger in your faith. Get stronger in your conviction. You live a life set apart. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now I want us to open the Bible in Colossians chapter 2, chapter 3. Living a life set apart. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, like sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these things. I like this. It says you used, you're not the same anymore. In the life you once lived. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. Any brand new man here? Oh, yes. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. All things have passed away. I'm walking from glory to what? To glory. It says, but now you must also rid yourself of all such things as anger, easily angered, rage. Road rage shouldn't be yours. You should be able to notice when someone has road rage and don't give into it. Because there's a lot of road rage out there. There's a lot of road rage. Why? You know why? Because people are miserable at home. They live a lonely life, a miserable life. So now they've got their cats and their dogs. They really love them because the cats and dogs don't talk back. But then they have you, their co-worker. They have you on the road to really blow steam. So you be careful. Don't give in rage. Don't give into it. Malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Filthy language. Do not lie to each other, since you have been taken off your old self with its practices. And have put on the new self. And this is, I like this. It says, which is being what? The new self is being what? Renewed in what? Knowledge. That's why you must love knowledge. You must be in Bible reading, Bible studies. Do not forsake your Bible studies. Don't think you can do it by yourself. Do not, the what? Man, I get too excited about this. It says, you're being renewed. Why? I love to read. I don't negotiate reading my Bible. Because every verse, the Holy Spirit makes it brand new. Listen, I complimented all of you who come to church with your Bible. If you don't do it for the Lord, do it for me, please. But you know, I'm asking you to do it for the Lord. Because by bringing your Bible in church, I pray that the Holy Spirit would start something in your spirit to start reading it Monday, tomorrow morning. And you won't feel good until you read it. Because your spirit needs it. It says, which is being renewed, your will being renewed in the image of its creator. See, the more you grow in your knowledge of the Lord, you being renewed. Do you know you can look like Jesus? Oh, When I read this, I'm like, wow. So I have been set apart. And the more I grow in my knowledge, I get to become like my Creator. You don't have to die to go to heaven to get this. Of course, this physical body, we deal with it. We human. You know, every believer who confess, you know, I'm human. Yeah, we are human. But we don't live by the desire of the human flesh. Yeah, I just chew them up. I did. I really feel bad for doing it, but I'm human. The moment you're going to chew them up, you know you've got self-control. You're not a powerless person. You're very powerful. The Holy Spirit gives you self-control. You know you're going to slap. You can choose to not slap. I have this situation. I have a tree, very close, a tree that is planted on my property line. God bless my neighbor. He's an awesome guy. But sometimes I don't like him. So then when I feel I don't like him, and because I feel like, the reason I feel I don't like him is because just the way he is. Obnoxious, rude. But other times he's nice too. So I always try to be nice because I figured I've got something to show him, even though they go to church. But I don't see the fruit. So I've got this tree that's just being, I wanted to cut that tree last year during winter before the leaves started, because that's where I wanted to park my truck. And I know that tree would kind of drop some sap on my truck and kind of stain it. So during winter, no leaves, I grabbed my chainsaw. I figured the tree is on my property line. I'm just going to cut it. Grabbed my chainsaw, starting cutting, and he was out there. He's like, yell, what I put the... I'm like, oh, is this your tree? He's like, yeah, of course we planted it. It's on my property. So I did my search and stuff. Actually, we both find out the tree is on our property line. So when they planted it, it was a little tree, but now it's kind of big. It's kind of on our property line. Okay. Winter passed. Spring came. The tree is doing exactly what I didn't want the tree to do. So I'm talking to Kendra. I said, all right, I'm cutting that tree. I'm cutting that tree. I'm cutting that tree. Thank God for my woman. She's wise. I tell you guys, if you have a wise woman in your life, listen to them. If you have a friend that's wise, the Bible says, don't be so wise in your own understanding. Sometimes run whatever stupid thing you're going to do through somebody. Even if you think it's the greatest idea. I thought, man, it's the greatest idea. I'm going to show this guy who the boss is. Because I'm not afraid of him. And I'm not. So I want to show him. My wife's like, well, you don't think you should tell him? Just tell him what you're doing at least? I'm like, no, in my heart. So, okay, I thought about it. In my spirit, I felt like, she's right. I'll text the guy. I grab my phone. She's like, are you texting? I'm like, come on, woman, leave me alone. She's like, are you texting? You know what? You know your own words. You said important things. You never talk about it on text. I'm like, man, she's right. Okay. I'm like, okay. Let's just leave it at that. So a week or two goes by. Guys, the tree is getting under my skin because the tree is just staining my truck. So in my time with the Holy Spirit, I'm like, you know what, Lord? I don't have the patience to go talk to that guy. I really need your help. Simple prayer. Because I needed help. I don't want to blow it. I don't want to chew him up. Because I want to continue to live a life set apart in front of him. Even if he goes to church, I see no fruit. But he sees the fruit in my life. I give him grace. So the Lord gave me grace, guys. I'm like, okay, I'm going to talk to him. So one day I saw him out there. I said, hey, so-and-so, come up here. I said, hey, listen, man. You remember back in the winter, you know, just, and I felt like I had the grace to talk to him. I said, you know, I honor the fact that you planted this tree, and it's a beautiful tree, but this tree, you see where my truck is? This tree is just like, that's why I wanted to cut it over the winter, and this tree is just staining my truck. What do you think if I trim it out? I want to trim it this time. It's beautiful. Okay, so I'm coming. I'm not bribing him. But I'm communicating. Guys, the guy looked at me. He's like, oh, man, got it. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, don't care, dude. Whatever, you know, okay, dude. Like, yeah, sure. And guys, I'm standing there. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Because I could have, I mean, look, I would blow this thing because it's like in my ego, in my want to be right to show him I don't mess around, I would blow a relationship. And of course, neighbors, they're like white sheets. Back in the days when I was growing up, they say, wait, neighbors are white sheets because when you have troubles at home, you use white sheets. And if you don't have white sheets, when you have visitors, you go to your neighbors and you, hey, neighbor, I need extra chairs. Neighbors, your neighbor, what? You are salt and light to this world. So what? However, whatever you need to do, you must live at peace with them, even if they can be a pain in your behind. Yes. Thank God for Kendra. You know, the Lord used my Holy Spirit a lot of time is my wife's voice. But, oh, are you guys still with me? Therefore, it says, verse 12, therefore, as God chosen people, underline that verse in your Bible, as God chosen people, holy, dear beloved, and it says clothed. Right there, stop. But look at this. I'm still the same person, but I'm clothed. I should get me a preacher's robe, actually. No, that's just a joke. But it says to clothe. Look at this. This is the word. It says, dear beloved, clothe yourself with what? Compassion. Not only that, kind. Ness. And what else? Humility, gentleness, patience. Stop right there. It says to clothe. You see the effort I went into putting this clothe on me? Thank God, 2 Peter said it. Chapter 1 says his divine power, the Holy Spirit, has given us everything we need to clothe ourselves with compassion. The Holy Spirit has given us everything we need to clothe ourselves with compassion. To clothe ourselves with kindness. The Holy Spirit has given us everything we need to clothe ourselves with humility. When you're on your knees, you can't go any lower. That's the best place to fight your battle. The Holy Spirit has given you everything you need to clothe. I'm clothed. Yes. I like it. Yeah. I'm not going to go to Walmart like this. People might think I'm crazy. But think about it, guys. I'm clothed. Patience, gentleness. Bear, next to verse 13, says, bear with each other. And forgive one another if anyone has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all virtues. And that's it right there. It says over all virtue. You know virtue? That word there means moral excellence. Over all virtues, put on love which binds all these together. What? In perfect unity. Like this cloth. I need something else to tie it together, make sure it doesn't. Love does that. Because without love, you can't be patient. Without love, you can't be kind. Remember, loving someone has nothing to do with the way they're going to respond. That's why the way I love my church, the way I love you guys, you don't have to respond to my love. I'm learning how to love from Jesus. Because when we don't love like Jesus, that love become condition. Because, I mean, the same thing in my family. If I don't love Kendra like Jesus, you don't know how many times I pray. I said, Lord, you know, this time I need extra love for my wife. Oh, yeah? I pray it all the time because sometimes I don't love her. I still like her. And then the Lord, you know what he does? And I'm serious and sincere in my love. I said, Lord, I really need your love for Kendra. The Bible says, husband, do not be hush. And I don't know, she caught myself the other day. I was having a bad day. I was hungry and working hard on projects. I was hungry and tired. And I just talked so hush with her. And I looked at her. I mean, you should have seen her face. I heard her. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. You know, sometimes you hurt somebody, you don't mean it. I didn't mean to be so with her, but I did. And then I saw it, and I'm like, oh, man, honey, I'm so sorry. And then we sat and talked. We hugged. Of course, we did a little. And then we good. Huh? That's the way you do it. Because I don't want my prayer to be hindered. I don't want heaven to stop over me. I want to operate under open heaven. I don't want to walk like this. I want to be aligned. I don't want to live my life like this. No. I want to be aligned with a life that's set apart. Guys, this is the call. And I'm going to ask Alyssa to come play. This is the call. I'm calling you up. I'm not done. I'm going to come back to this. A life set apart. This morning, there is a great call. There is a great call for each of you. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I'm not going to play. I'm going to make myself available to pray and prophesy and just declare a new season over your life. Come to the altar. God wants you to live a life set apart. He chose you, but you have to choose him back. This morning, the invitation is, would you choose Jesus? He already chose and made everything possible for you to live a life set apart. Would you choose him?